We've been speaking about the virtue of faith these past couple of days. Yesterday, we spoke about the darkness of faith. Today, we turn to a new virtue, a virtue that moves us through that darkness, and that is hope. Saint Thomas Aquinas, our great Dominican theologian and philosopher from the 13th century, tells us that hope is the desire for a future good that is difficult but possible to obtain. Again, hope is the desire for a future good that is difficult but possible to obtain. I think it's important to keep this definition in mind, because hope is often reduced to something like an emotion. I feel hope when I basically have good vibes about some outcome. I'm optimistic. But what would be the value of hope if feeling is all it was? As Christians, we must be on the side of truth, and sometimes the truth is difficult. Hope can't be reduced to a Pollyannish optimism. And we have to admit, while there are signs of hope of conversion in the world, we see them here at St. Dominic's, thanks be to God, the truth is that the battle that lies ahead is great. Hope can't just be a feeling. No, hope must be established on something much more firm, and it is, because it is anchored, the virtue of hope is anchored on the true faith and the promise God wants to fulfill in us, who we know in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And contrary to the always moving finite desires of the world, chasing new comforts, new pleasures, new distractions, always drifting but never arriving at what he is called to, the man with hope stands firm. And we see the stability of hope in the psalm we just heard. Listen to the first verse of the psalm we heard at Mass today. Blessed is the man who walks not the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. Now, I'm sure the author of this psalm is writing to those who are discouraged by all those triumphing nations around Israel. And often it seems like those who are opposed to God are the ones who seem to enjoy great liberty, enjoying all the present goods of the world. They are walking, they are standing, they are sitting, moving their desires from created good to created good, living only in the moment. This is the way of the world, constantly changing as they desperately search for satisfaction with multiple horizontal directions in which they are going. But the author of this psalm tells us, no, that is not the blessed man. Who is the blessed man? He's not shifting about, he's not walking, he's not sitting. Rather, he's a tree. While they, like winnowed chaff, move about from good to good, sitting here, walking there, or standing there, the blessed man is fixed, planted beside the streams of water. The joys of day go by, he's rooted. The sufferings of night go by, he's still rooted, because he drinks from that wellspring. He endures the hardship, and even when burdened by long years of suffering, remains unshaken, still reaching upward towards union with God, despite every pain that would seem to hold him down. That is the one with hope. And I have seen this resilience. In 2013, during my first novitiate with the Dominicans, I was assigned to visit some of the elderly residents in the now closed St. Anne's home over on Lake Street. And one of them was a woman named Teresa. She was a tiny elderly Chinese woman, with a sharp curve in her back from what I thought was severe osteoporosis. She was born and raised in Shanghai, and as a young adult, became a Catholic in the 1960s. But if you know a little bit about history, you would know that her conversion could not have occurred at a more challenging time in China, as the Maoist government attempted to purge the nation from influences that threatened the communist hegemony, including the Catholic faith. For this reason, Teresa and many in her community were forced to attend study sessions with the Communist Party, which occurred over the course of several months, with the objective of making all of them confess their ideological errors and publicly affirm loyalty to the Communist Party and Mao Zedong. Christians who refused were sent to labor camps called the Lao Gai. Teresa was advised by other fellow Catholics around her to just bite the bullet and attend the indoctrination sessions. So she did. And these weren't just like a weekly Wednesday night thing. These occurred over the course of several months, sometimes as long as a year. And so she did. For several months, she attended these Maoist sessions, putting up with the lectures on communist ideology. But just coming to the last few weeks of these sessions, they began to discuss religion. And they started urging the participants of the class to reject their faith, and some did. And she, too, was pressured to do so. But she refused. And she made the decision when she went back home to never return to those sessions, knowing full well the consequences. Shortly thereafter, she was arrested and sent to the Lao Gai. She was fed a barely sufficient amount of rice every day, lived in inhumane disease and lice-infested dormitories, and worked long hours carrying large slabs of stone on her back, which I discovered was the reason for that curvature on her back. Many in the camp died. For 30 years, she endured the camp until the 1990s, when China's cultural laws began to soften and she was released. There was no one to welcome her. Most of her relatives at this point had died. She had no immediate family. And eventually, through bouncing here and there, she ended up at the St. Anne's home. But the trauma of the camp was still with her. Even though she was thousands of miles away, safe in the United States in the 2000s, one of the greatest fears she had was that she would be sent back to that camp. I remember after telling me all these things about her story, she spoke with deep sadness in her voice and said, "Can you imagine 30 years? No marriage, no family, no career. When I got out, I had nothing." But despite that sadness that was in her, despite that suffering and fear, what I discovered was that she had access to something that I could only hope to have. She had access to something that got her through those many years in the Lao Gai, which kept her faith firm and resistant to the communist ideology. That is hope. And she didn't have to tell me that. I saw it in her, and everybody else in the community did too. She was a daily communicant and strong devotee of the Rosary. She was prayerful, regularly inviting others to join her. Even priests and bishops from other dioceses would come to this little St. Anne's home just to sit and talk with her and receive wisdom. Teresa was that tree rooted by the fresh streams. Day and night she stayed there, rooted in her faith, growing upwards to heaven. Were those years in the Lao Gai a burden? Of course. Were they filled with tragedies? Yes. Did they leave her with many psychological and emotional scars? Many. But none of that was sufficient to take away that hope that she had. Throughout those 30 years in the Lao Gai, she deceived her captors by the true freedom she enjoyed through her faith in Jesus Christ. This is the virtue of hope. Brothers and sisters, there are many reasons for us to despair today. Beyond what is going around the world, our own lives have further reasons for despair. But whatever the obstacle, do not move from the fresh stream. Hope is not mere good vibes or optimism. It is endurance grounded on faith, the strength to remain steadfast in Christ when every earthly good is stripped away. The suffering may be paralyzing, the foe may be overpowering, but you they cannot prevent from reaching upwards to Christ, so long as that you are rooted in Him. So be that tree. Be that lush tree planted by the living waters, receiving that nutrient, and draw life from the truth that will set you free. Amen. Tomorrow we will continue with the virtue of hope.